tune into one of those for Friday Night Lights. We'll be right back. We'll be back in about 1 minute time.
Many of the Pentagon's Western Customs Rangers and the entire Air Force One fleet of Presidential Plans and helicopters. The company also reviews security clearance applications
the police force Monday filed a lawsuit in Britain in 1991 against Dyncorp for firing her, as she reported that Dyncorp police trainers in Bosnia were paying for sex workers and participating in sex trafficking. Many of the Dyncorp employees were forced to resign under the suspicion of illegal activity, but none were prosecuted since they enjoy immunity from prosecution in Bosnia. Earlier that year, Ben Johnson, a Dyncorp aircraft mechanic for Apache and Black Hawk Helicopters Impossible, filed a lawsuit against his employer. The suit alleged that in the latter, in the latter part of 1999, Johnson, quote, learned that employers and supervisors of Dyncorp were engaging in perverse, illegal, and inhuman behavior and were purchasing illegal weapons, women, forged passports, and participating in other immoral acts. The suit charges that Johnson witnessed co-workers and supervisors literally buying and selling women for their own personal enjoyment, and employees would bedevil at the various ages and talents of the individuals whom they had purchased. And on that note, in case you missed it at Hot Doctors here, Bay Adieu chronicles the story of three mail order brides from the Philippines now living in Canada. In order to escape lives of poverty and support their families, these women married men they did not know. Once in Canada, the women find themselves situated in small rural areas of the country, the situation one of extreme isolation, poverty, and vulnerability to all forms of violence and exploitation. Bay Adieu is a powerful indictment of a growing mail order bride industry that's resulting from the economic consequences of globalization for developing countries and the proliferation of websites that traffic women. As the political and economic pressures in the Philippines intensify, so does the trafficking of Filipino women to industrialized countries like Canada. The commodification of Filipino women migrating to Canada as domestic workers, mail order brides as entertainers and sex workers is rapidly increasing as more of them are forcibly to Philippines in hopes of living better lives and decent lives. For many Filipino women in Canada, mail order brides are emerging as a new identity or social contract that stigmatizes women and makes them virtual modern-day slaves. So if you missed that Hot Talks this year, let's just wrap up. It will be on CTV, Cable 8, on Friday, May 9th, and at 8 p.m., and Saturday, May 11th, from 1 to 2 p.m. So without further ado, we're going to move on to the Dope Talk Show. Stay tuned.
Well, East car salesman and golf pros who are in Ontario have decided your disability is no longer a disabling factor. You're being forced to work 140 hours a month to get your $500 welfare. Your entire neighborhood is being brutalized by being moved to Canada and sent to a country where you'll be killed or thrown in jail and kicked out often for not having a fixed address. The shelter you stay in has no interest at all in human rights. The government tribunal hearing without the owner of the building wants you out so it can take advantage of anti-tenant legislation. You're treated unjustly due to your economic position or skin color, and you're sick and tired of the corporate agenda and feel it's time to stand up and fight back. So what are you going to do? So who are you going to call? Well, if you're wise, you'll call OCAP, the Ontario Coalition Against Poverty. Do you want our help? Just call. Do you want to join? Give us a call to set up an introductory meeting. 925-6939 in the East, 530-1550 in the West.
Hello, you are in tune to the Friday night edition of OCAP Radio on CKLM 88.1 FM, and we are still awaiting the verdict in the Queen's Park Riot trial. It's been 48 hours now, exactly 48 hours tonight at 6 o'clock. The jury has been out and in deliberations. Basically, the week has gone as follows. On Monday, the defense began its closing arguments with Peter Rosenthal summing up the arguments for the defense of John Clark. Peter did an excellent job, brought the politics of the day to the forefront, and did an excellent job in undermining the Crown case against John. The following day was made up of the defense attorneys for Stephen Popa and Gaetan Haru and Jeff Hess and Bob Tillerman summing up their arguments, and then we had John Cesario, assistant Crown attorney, summing up the Crown's case. Did a terrible job. Basically, then the judge charged the jury. As I said, it's been 48 hours. They have been deliberating and still no verdict. And it's really, really hard to say how long it's going to take. At this point, I understand that the jury is not actually deliberating. They're going to return to the deliberations later tonight. Possibly one juror short. There might have to be a juror excused for medical reasons. But we are asking for people to come down to 361 University, which is located on University Avenue between Dundas and Queen Street, to show support. It's been absolutely fabulous show of support. There's been a constant 60 to 80 people at the courthouse at all times. The jury can come back in throughout the proceedings to ask questions, and never once has the jury come back to anything less than a absolutely packed standing room only courtroom. Ever since Monday, the courtroom has been jam-packed. And it's really nice to just relax and help the defendants stay relaxed and chill out. We've had good weather. We've just been set up serving breakfast every morning on the steps of 361 University, and it's been really great. And if people can come on down, that would be fabulous. Of course, as soon as the verdict does become known, if you can't come down to 361, you can always check the OCAP voice answering machine at 416-925-6939, and as soon as the verdict comes in, we will bring that to you. As well, you can always check out www.ocap.ca, and that will have the update on the verdict as soon as possible. Unfortunately, I must announce to all listeners that there was a barbecue scheduled tomorrow for Keel and St. Clair. We're going to call that barbecue off and ask people to come instead down to the courthouse to await a verdict. It seems, due to the illness in the jury pool, that it's most likely we will be back at the courthouse tomorrow still awaiting a verdict. And Saturday, so it'll be great if we had a great big showing of people to come down and support. In the meantime, you know, there's been a lot of long hours to pass at the courthouse, and many members of OCAP and OCAP supporters passed the time today dealing with another little problem. And, you know, I'm not one, usually regulars of the show will know that I'm not one usually to be championing deportations, but there was one interesting hearing today regarding a man that Canada would like to throw out, named Ernst Zundel, and he was having his hearing down at 361 University as well. And, you know, it's a nice way to pass the time to go keep track of Toronto's Nazi problem. And it is still a problem. We were happy to see that most of Zundel's support was well over the age of 80, 85, and at least that means that he doesn't seem to have too much of a grip on the future of the world. He definitely is, well, we all know he's living in La La Land, basically, but clearly, not having an influence on the youth of today. But there were, unfortunately, sorry to say, a few young Nazis and a few old Nazis in the courthouse today, but they got a nice tongue lashing from various members and supporters of OCAP, including Doug Christie, who's a well-known Nazi lawyer, who is Ernst Zundel's lawyer. And of course, the Canadian government, if you're not aware, has declared Zundel a security threat and is threatening to deport him. I can certainly appreciate the irony of someone who has argued so vehemently and fought so vehemently against refugee rights, all of a sudden being hammered by those same problems that he's fought so hard against. Nonetheless, I have to say that I don't know about deportation. I think probably the best thing they could do with Zundel is just simply wheel him out into the crowd of OCAP supporters in front of 361 University and let us decide fitting justice for Mr. Zundel. In a recent OCAP Radio listeners poll, 361 University finished last on places to see justice served. But I think we could change that if we got a chance to deal with Mr. Zundel one-on-one. Obviously, quite a monster. We're sorry to see him in the same building as us today. Nonetheless, the deliberations are continuing, and the barbecue is cancelled for tomorrow. And in other OCAP-related news, we would like everyone, of course, to keep following the going down at City Hall, as City Hall continues to mull over the situation in the east end of our downtown. TRC, the Toronto Disaster Relief Committee, this week published a report that detailed the conditions in the shelters of our city. And I don't need to tell you, I mean, at 361 University, where we're currently camped out, you know, just around the corner from the courthouse, or more accurately, between the courthouse and City Hall, is an area, a walkway, really, that is every night sort of temporary evening squats are set up. And we have dozens and dozens and dozens of people sleeping under there because they do not want, even during the winter when the air of the cold are open in their spaces, they do not want to compete for space in Toronto's overcrowded shelter systems. The shelter report that was released, they had a team of inspectors, shelter inspectors, commissioned by the Toronto Disaster Relief Committee, made up of healthcare professionals and people who have worked in the United Nations refugee camps. These people went in to the various shelters across the city and found them in many cases in worse conditions than the United Nations refugee camps standards are set at. They found, you know, overcrowding, people having to sleep in toilets. They found disgusting conditions in some cases, you know, one shower and two sinks for hundreds and hundreds of men. We don't need to be told, but it's good to see that getting out there. It was interesting that article about the shelter inspections reports that TRC released this week appeared in the newspapers the same day that the Toronto Star published a report about conditions inside the Don Jail, which is a blight on that downtown Toronto. Regular listeners to CKLN Word of Mouth hopefully turned in last Monday, and hopefully will turn in this coming Monday when Mike Brio and Aaron Hosanna do their radio program. And they spoke live this Monday live from Toronto East Detention Center and talked about the conditions in there, talked about the way that people are treated, the way that they line up dozens and dozens of men every night for the two available phones, wait for hours to be able to contact loved ones, talked about the inavailability of books and the way that people are pitted against each other. Disgusting conditions in the jails in the city, disgusting conditions in the shelters, and for fighting against that, people are on trial at 361 University. So it'll be interesting to see what, if anything, comes out of that. Those two stories that came out this week, one from TRC, the shelter report, and also the Toronto Star expose about the Don Jail. It's interesting that the response from Minister of Public Safety and Security, Bob Brunson, who 2 weeks ago was pleased with the throne speech announcement that 1,000 more police officers will soon be on Ontario streets, and who shortly thereafter opened up new jails, who wants to build detention centers. His response to the story about the Don Jail conditions was to blame defense lawyers, saying that defense lawyers drag on the process for so long that there's so many more prisoners, making apologies for the fact that people are jailed and jailed and jailed, held over for bail, for virtually no reason in many cases. To give an example, there's a member vocab currently in the Don Jail who calls us fairly regularly with updates about the brutal conditions in there, where people are fighting against each other over the few scraps they're given by the prison authorities. And it's a disgusting thing. And there's no reason that he needs to be incarcerated in the Don Jail awaiting trial, denied bail. We saw it with Magali San Martin, who was denied bail on the wake of June 15th, held over for racial reasons. We see it with Monday Night Word of Mouth host, who's denied bail and who is being held in the East right now. Just disgusting goings on in the legal judicial system. And another sign today, or another example, is this ongoing persecution. It's been 3 years since June 15th, and still, John Stephan and Gaetan are being dragged through the courts, their lives disrupted, even still as we speak. Just abominable. But as I was saying, Minister Runciman, blaming the defense lawyers, fairly typical of what we've come to expect from the Tory party as they gear up to call an election. It's interesting, you know, we've heard that the Tories are now fast approaching the time when they're going to call an election. There's talk that they're going to put it off, but they're giving themselves a big pat on the back for the handling of the SARS crisis. And it's interesting because, you know, if you listen to the media right now, you hear, well, the Tories riding high on their perceived success. Well, there's no perceived success of the Tory handling of the SARS crisis, if you want to call it that. What we've basically seen happen is the Tories, health minister, Tony Clement, fly overseas to the World Health Organization and come back and declare himself a success, have the media pick up on the story of Tony Clement declaring himself a success, and then having the Tories being able to accept their success as a given, as something that everyone believes. Well, I think it's fairly clear that any problems that are in Ontario's health system are there directly because of the Tories. You know, there's a conference last week where Tony Clement met with some nurses, and he was shocked to learn that the nurses have been forced to work in multiple hospitals. He learned that many of Ontario's nurses have to work in two different hospitals and split shifts because there's simply a shortage due to cutbacks in the health system. There's a shortage of nurses and they have to spread themselves thin. He was shocked to find this out. Ontario's nurses have been bringing this to the Tory government, bringing this grievance, telling them about the conditions that they work under for 10 years now, ever since the Tories started bringing down cuts. And it's disgusting that he presumes to have just discovered it now on his publicity tour around Ontario's hospitals. As I've told you last week, coming up in the next few months, OCAP will of course be continuing its work of targeting the Tory party and their disgusting policies as they seem to be, as we approach election time, getting worse and worse and worse and worse. Constantly we're seeing that the Tories better themselves and go further than we ever thought they'd be willing to go. We were appalled, of course, at the 21.6 cut to welfare, percent cut to welfare, and now, as if that wasn't bad enough, now the Tories are talking about making the conditions more strict for welfare and cutting more people off after 2 years, having a 2-year lifetime limit on collecting social assistance. So the Tories obviously trying to go more and more and more to the extremes. Absolutely revolting, absolutely revolting. And I think we're going to take a break, and we'll come right back with a little bit more OCAP radio. Are you a problem with your neighbor? Evolved in disagreements with your landlord or roommate? Problems regarding small commercial disputes? Just can't seem to reach an agreement on your problem? We've got your problem. The Conflict Resolution Service at Thanksgiving Community House has been providing free community mediation services to thousands of people in Toronto since 1985. Take advantage of this whenever you have a conflict with neighbors, other tenants, friends, even members of your own family. If you want to know more or are looking for a way of resolving a conflict, call Faith Stevens at 416-926-8221, extension 229. With Radio Chat here on CKLN 80.1 FM with Word of Mouth News. And just a few announcements. If you're in the Toronto area coming up in the next few weeks, don't miss these events. For you rabble-rousers out there who really want to shake things up, our favorite people, and Greg Sandel's favorite people, I believe, at the Fraser Institute, are having a probably very racist policy briefing called Towards Aboriginal Equality with John D. Weston, who's a lawyer for the Legal Access Group. The Fraser Institute Conference Centre will be having him speak on Friday, May 30th. That's from noon to 1:30 p.m. on the third floor, I believe. I'm not sure this information I have here doesn't say where the Fraser Institute Conference Center is located. But if you want to go in there and shake things up, it's going to cost you. Unless you declare yourself a student, in which case students are free. So do go in there, declare yourself a student, and get in free. You can call to register. You can go to www.fraserinstitute.ca/events, or you can call Rita Rubio at 1-800-665-3558, extension 578. So, or email, of course, events@fraserinstitute.ca if you want to rally change there as well. No One Is a Legal campaign, who just put together that very powerful anti-security summit panel discussion and meeting, other meeting, and the demonstrations that happened shortly thereafter, is having a planning meeting. And you can attend that. The next organizing meeting is Sunday, May 11th. I believe that's in 2 days. It'll be 2 to 4 p.m. at 25 Leonard Street, or Leonard Avenue, which is near Dundas and Bathurst. The entrance is on the basement door on the left side, and Leonard backs onto the hospital there, so it's just across from the hospital on the Kensington side of Bathurst. So, just a street east of Bathurst, and a little bit north of Dundas. That's 25 Leonard on the basement side. The suggested agenda items include the Native Youth Movement, which is under severe attack by the Canadian state, as well as the First Nations Government Act. It's sort of legalizing that attack. And there will also be a discussion of ALAUDA, which is the Palestinian Right of Return Coalition, and the June 20th International Conference, which is happening in Toronto. Also, Immigration Minister Denis Coderre is coming to Toronto on May 21st. There'll be border actions coordinated with No One Is Illegal Montreal. No One Is Illegal National Consultant will be happening in July in Toronto. And a discussion around basis of unity, and of course, a reading group. So come on out if you want to take part in those discussions and find out how to get active. If you have any questions or just want to get in touch with Canada for meeting, you can email noneisillegal, but just spell that as is, no spaces or dashes, noneisillegal@canada.com. And as well, we have a call out for an amazing festival that's happening. It's called Kids Activities in the Kind Kitchen. It's 9 St. Nicholas Street, 1 Street West of Yonge, north of Wellesley, behind North Elmire. It's $5 before 10 p.m., $10 after. And this is a support for Grassy Narrows, and as you regular listeners of Radio Cap know, they've been trying to fend off a clear cut of their land without their consultation, and certainly without their own hand in the matter, seeing any of the proceeds from the destruction of their land. That'll be Friday, May 9th, and at it's tonight, that's right. So tonight, starting in about half an hour, there's going to be a drum jam at Own Circle, and then at 8 there'll be First Nations drumming opening ceremonies. At 8:30, Grassy Narrows update and video screening. First Nations Government Act will be discussed by Sharon Minow. And then at 9, Lorian Rowan with Randall K. Fox and company hosts an open jam. And then at 11, it's Greenlaw Ave. At 12:30, Tom Quill, Zayla, and Lindsay with the live PA. You can check their stuff out at wabi.org. And at 1:30, John Farrah, Electronic and Acoustic Fusion. 3 in the morning, Jason Prine. You can check his stuff out at jason.prine.com. And at 4 o'clock in the morning, Lily Michie from Some Kids and Mike Lambert from Some Kids at OwnFestival.com will bring some bumping beats. So check that out at 9 Nicholas Street, 1 Street West of Yonge, a little bit north of Wellesley, right behind North Bound Letter. Always welcome, $5 before 10, $10 after. And just to read you out, it's a benefit for Grassy Narrows Solidarity Coalition Toronto. Grassy Narrows is Ojibwe land under threat of clear cut. Please follow this link for a message from Chief William Forbester, who says this about the SCP Shawagon people and land. We as Aboriginal people have a legitimate claim to use our traditional land use area for the continuation of our land based culture. We are merely trying to save the last few patches of the old growth forest. These last few patches hold small pieces of our history, our culture, and our medicine, which can never be replaced or replicated. That was quoted through EnviroWatch.org. So do go out tonight and see if you can help out with those folks in any way possible. So Mike, do you have any other news for us?
Nope, just to close with hoping that everyone comes down tonight. We'll be there probably till 10 o'clock unless the verdict comes, or we're sent home because of the sicker, but come down to 361 University and support your OCAP defendants.
There is suffering in the streets, in the streets.